only thing we have to fear is
in war, fear itself. There is no substitute for victory.
Let us never negotiate out of fear.
We stand undivided, forever united, fighting hand in hand for the liberty we burn, for glory and honor, for our sons and daughters, ever mindful of the lessons we've learned. Let the torch of freedom burn.
You found your way to the intersection of faith and the culture. This is Wall Builders Live. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Rick Green here with David Barton and Tim Barton. We're looking at things from both a biblical and a historical perspective. You can get more of our programs at our website, wallbuilderslive.com. Click on that archive section. And after today, you're going to want to do that because you're going to hear some good news today. It's going to encourage you, and you're going to want more of that. So you can get it at our website there at wallbuilderslive.com. We call these Fridays Good News Fridays. It's a chance to just catch up on a lot of news over the last few months that we maybe haven't been able to mention in our regular programs, and also just have a whole day of talking about some of the victories out there. Always look forward to Friday with you, gentlemen. Who's going to start us today?
Well, let's start with some news out of Texas. Coming out of Texas, we finished our legislative session here, and as we look back in the aftermath of the session, there were some really interesting laws passed, including some pro-life laws, which is pretty hard to do because Texas is probably the most pro-life state in the nation right now when you look at the number of laws we passed. And yet we still found a way to make ourselves more pro-life than we were in the state of Texas. And this involves the parental notification bill. Rick, you remember back when we had the parental notification bill several years ago? And as we got that bill through, we had to put in there, according to what the courts were saying at the time, you have to have what's called a judicial bypass. And that is you have to have a way for a minor that is seeking an abortion to be able to get around the parents in case the parents are abusive or something else. You know, maybe it was the father who raped the daughter. And so you have to go get parental permission for that abortion. No, you
and that
be
was
able
one of those
that.
Things where we had to put that in there to get it passed.
That's
I was
right.
Actually in the House when that happened, and we just couldn't get the votes. It was, you know, Democrats had a slim majority in the House, and there were some of them that were pro-life, but the only way we could get them to come with us and get the majority for that vote was to have that bypass in there.
And the problem with the judicial bypass is the same problem what you have with the three exceptions. When you talk about three exceptions for abortion, it's rape, incest, and life of the mother. And life of the mother in some states is defined as the health of the mother rather than the life of the mother. And when you define it as health of the mother, the courts have held that very broadly. Well, if she's emotionally upset about being pregnant, then that's not good for her health so she can abort the baby. If she is emotionally distraught that she's going to have to spend some time caring for the baby rather than spending time elsewhere that she wants to, that's reason enough to abort the baby. So the health of the mother clause became so expansive that it could mean anything, even just mere inconvenience, that it was big enough to drive a truck through. So anything could be called health of the mother. And it was the same thing with judicial bypass. You could get attorneys acting on the girl and saying, well, you know, her parents are abusive or whatever. And so through secret proceedings, the parents never knew, were never consulted, which state law required. And you had certain judges who really were just rubber stamping whatever request came to them. So in the legislature, they went through and tightened that up. They tightened that judicial bypass up to where that actually has to be legitimately shown that there's a reason, which is going to cut the number of abortions in Texas under the judicial bypass even more. And Matt Krause is one of our Wall Builder speakers. He's one of the guys here that travels the country speaking for us. He's a state rep. And Matt was able to get those provisions added into the bill so that you can't do forum shopping anymore. Rick, you're the attorney. Explain forum shopping.
Well, you just go pick that judge that you know, based on their previous opinions, is likely to find in your favor. Until you find one like that, you don't file your suit. And then you go file it in his court or her court, hoping for a favorable outcome.
And so you get a few judges in the state that say yes to every abortion, every chance they get. And no matter what the circumstances are, yes, you can have an abortion. And so guess what? People from all over the state started filing just a handful of courts because it's forum shopping. And so they eliminated that. No, you got to go to the court where the situation's occurring. And they have really tightened up this law in Texas where that it is really hard now to get around and get an abortion for no reason. So good news is Texas has again led the way. And another law restricting abortion. Even after the number of laws that we have, we're still finding ways to get this tougher and tougher on abortion, people.
All right, good stuff. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and get some more good news. Stay with us here on Wall Builders Live.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. What is the purpose of government? Founding Father Oliver Ellsworth believed he knew. Oliver Ellsworth was a delegate at the convention which formed the Constitution, and later he became the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Concerning the purpose of government, Oliver Ellsworth declared, "The primary objects of government are the peace, order, and prosperity of society." Yet how were these goals to be achieved? Ellsworth explained, "To the promotion of these objects, good morals are essential. Institutions for the promotion of good morals are therefore objects of legislative provision and support, and among these, religious institutions are eminently useful and important." Founding Father Oliver Ellsworth believed government could never reach its goals apart from the help of religious institutions.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wobblers Live. It's Good News Friday, and in our first segment today, David was sharing with us some good news on the pro-life front out of Texas. Tim Barton is up next. Tim, what's our good news?
Well, this good news, I'm not exactly sure where it comes from, but I know it's good news. This was a British Israeli team, and they were doing adult stem cell research. And I have no idea where they're doing this. That's not part of what the article explains, but here's what the article does explain. Amazing discoveries they've made with adult stem cell research. And
now, wait a minute, time out. I thought it was embryonic stem cell research that was going to do all the panacea and make all the cures. So adult stem cell research, this is so past, you got to be reading it wrong. This is embryonic,
well,
right?
Well, just because the current leadership and administration likes to use aborted babies to do research and not, which, by the way, we've seen recently from Planned Parenthood, where now we can sell baby parts. It's no big deal. It's not a problem. Well, no.
By the way, you did see that after all that came out, that the president said, God bless Planned Parenthood. He says God bless so infrequently now. He didn't even sign off his last address with God bless America. But he does say God bless Planned Parenthood after it came out that they were selling aborted baby parts.
Baby parts.
After it
I saw him do it before, but I haven't seen him do it after. And I'm glad, because that would potentially make me throw up in my mouth a little bit. That's ridiculous. No, we often hear this notion of embryonic stem cell research, which is tissue you take from aborted babies or unborn babies in different cases. But adult stem cell is just something you take off for instance, a placenta or something in the umbilical cord.
Or even off skin, just dry the skin on the outside of your skin, just rub some skin off.
Correct. Well, it's often argued embryonic stem cells what produces the most, and they've produced zero cures to date. And so apparently aborting babies and using their tissue from aborted babies has not been productive. However, taking adult stem cell, I don't remember how many hundreds we're up to now, but just amazing the cures that have come from adult stem cell research. Well, now you have British and Israeli team that have gotten together, and they're finding breakthroughs to revert adult stem cell back into human germ cells in the lab. Now, what that does is it actually can give an increase to the rise in sperm and ova, which their hope is that they will be able to help infertile couples be able to have kids, because they've now been able to take this adult stem cell, take it back into human germ cells, which can increase these sperm and ova, which can help pregnancy take place. So if you have couples that can't have babies, they're now, through adult stem cell, finding ways to help increase the fertility for couples who want to have a baby that can't have a baby. Incredible stuff.
Amazing. And it again points back to, I don't know how many times we say it on this program, but God's ways not only right, they work best. We've talked about this debate for years on embryonic stem cell versus adult stem cell. When you do it in an honorable, life-respecting way, you get great results. That's adult stem cell research.
And by the way, we're now nearly 50 years into embryonic stem cell research, back since the 60s. We have yet to have one cure, not one. And as Tim said, we're scores and scores on the adult stem cell side. That's what's working. That's what's dealing with Parkinson and spinal cord injuries. That's dealing with corneal cancer. That's what's dealing with leukemia. That's what's dealing with item after. It's not embryonic. And now we're looking at even the possibility of infertility being helped because of adult stem cells.
Incredible. Good stuff. All right, guys. Actually, I think we could probably squeeze one in before we go to break. You got a short one for us?
Well, short one dealing with marriage. Despite what the U.S. Supreme Court says on marriage, there are a number of jurisdictions in the United States that are not affected at all by what the Supreme Court says. And pop quiz, what would those jurisdictions be? Total silence.
Oh, were you asking me? Oh, no.
No,
you know what?
I was asking all the listeners. And
that's
check
what
your
I was
email.
Waiting for. We're
yeah, we're waiting
emails.
For the listeners
Come on.
To answer. Yeah, yeah. What's the
we're
deal
looking
here?
For emails.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The sound of crickets evidently means you don't recall that Native American tribes are independent jurisdictions. They are not affected by U.S. or federal law. A reservation, an Indian reservation, is an independent nation all by itself. They can choose if they want to apply with federal law, but they don't have to. And so the Supreme Court comes down and says, hey, we're doing gay marriage in America. Guess who does not have to follow that decision? Native American tribes. So guess who has not followed that decision? By the way, do you know what the largest Native American tribe in the United States is, population-wise?
Man, I have no,
no idea.
Navajo.
Yeah.
They said, nope, marriage is a man and a woman. Do you know what the second largest tribe in the United States is? Cherokee.
Arapaho.
Cherokee.
Cherokee, okay.
Cherokee. Nope, marriage is a man and a woman. 11 Native American tribes have now come out saying, we're not doing the federal thing. Marriage is a man and a woman. That is the law of nature. So there you go, as a piece of good news from the jurisdictions in the United States that do not fall under federal law. Native American tribes, and there are evidently some really small, fairly obscure tribes that do recognize some form of same-sex marriage, but not the big boys. As you're looking at the larger tribes and you're looking at the greater Native American populations, they're still on board with traditional marriage.
That's great, man. That's I didn't even realize that much of a distinction in that freedom that they had to do that, but the fact that the two largest ones are speaking of it. You're probably going to find some other tribes following suit as well over the next few months, hopefully. Good news, guys. Let's get some more when we get back. You're listening to Wild Builders Live.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court recently overturned the jury sentence of a man convicted of the brutal murder of a 71-year-old woman because the prosecuting attorney had mentioned a Bible verse in the courtroom. Yet consider what happened in the 1778 case, Respublica versus John Roberts. Thomas McKean, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, was the Chief Justice of that court, and addressing John Roberts after the jury had sentenced him to death for treason, McKean told him, "You will probably have but a short time to live. Before you launch into eternity, it behooves you to repent of your evil deeds, to be incessant in prayers to the great and merciful God to forgive your manifold transgressions and sins, to teach you to rely upon the merit and passion of a dear Redeemer." This prominent founding father actually delivered a salvation message to the defendant in the courtroom.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us here on Wild Builders Live. It's Good News Friday, bringing you some good news from across the nation. And Tim Barton, I believe you're up, buddy. What's next on our good news list?
Going to North Carolina, and I've actually got a couple of articles in my hands from North Carolina, both dealing with the same issues from different outreaches, different websites. Incredible stuff. North Carolina, they passed a initial legislation and religious freedom bill where they wanted to make sure that government officials, after the Supreme Court's ruling that marriage was now defined where however your gender identity is, you can get married, so homosexual marriage, we recognize that. After that decision came down, they passed a religious freedom bill, and their governor came out, and the governor vetoed it. Because the religious freedom bill said, if you are elected to a government office, a government position, if it goes against your rights of conscience, if it goes against your conviction, if you think homosexual marriage is wrong, you cannot be forced to perform a wedding or a marriage that you are convicted, rights of conscience, moral conscience, that that is wrong. The governor came out and said, no, that if you've been elected to government office, you need to uphold your position, you need to do, and it doesn't matter your rights of conscience. Well, the great news was the House representatives overrode his veto there in North Carolina by a 3/5 majority. The Senate also overrode the veto.
And by the way, this is a Republican governor, and people were shocked. I was in North Carolina not long after that, and they say they think this will keep him from getting reelected as what had been a popular Republican governor was his veto of that bill. But go ahead.
Well, and in this veto, he disregarded any sincerely held religious objections. But the House and the Senate overrode the veto with a 3/5 majority. So this law is now on the books that if you are a government official, elected official there in North Carolina, if it goes against your sincerely held religious beliefs to perform a homosexual marriage, you will not be required to in North Carolina. And by the way, North Carolina is one of several states that have now gone that direction, which is very encouraging.
And North That's Carolina, great. The magistrate there, Gary Littleton, I was just at the church that Gary attends and met Gary. Great guy, grandfather, just the sweetest guy. And he just could not perform the homosexual wedding himself. Others could have done that, but he wasn't going to. And so he was fired. And this bill was largely in result to Gary Littleton, what happened there. So, you know, this was a very popular issue in North Carolina. Their governor listened to too many emails from the wrong side on this rather than listening to the voters. And so they think he's in trouble there. But that's a religious liberty victory. And I got one for you that is kind of an interesting one. This comes out of the same general geographic part of the United States. We're going to be in Tennessee for a bit here. So a neighbor to North Carolina. In Tennessee, and by the way, if I ask you guys to describe a parade to me, how would you describe that? What would you say is a parade?
I would think of floats and festivities and a band and
bands marching, yeah.
Right, music, maybe, you know, some floating something somewhere.
People okay. along the sidewalk watching.
Okay. Well, what we have is 4 years ago, we have Pastor Stephen Joyner stood on a sidewalk and held up a pro-life sign and was arrested. And he was arrested because he violated the city's parade permit. He was having a parade without a permit.
Wait. You said it was
one
so
pastor.
He had floats and he had marching bands and he had, you know, corn dogs. No, wait, that's the fair. Never mind. So
one pastor standing on the sidewalk holding up a sign was arrested because he did not have a parade permit.
Wow.
So they arrest him for not having a parade permit. And by the way, they also pointed out that he was to have a permit anytime that groups assembled. Wait a minute, he was by himself. What groups are we talking about? So the city is saying, you're a group, that is a weird definition, and you're a parade, and that's a weird definition. And so they arrested him, and well, he pushed back, and with help from Liberty Council and others, the city dropped its charges eventually, dropped the charges against him. Well, bless his little heart, he didn't stop there. He went after the city. He filed a civil suit against the city. And as a result of his civil suit, they have to pay all of his legal fees, which they should have had to do because that was stupid for arresting him, causing him to have to defend himself and spend time in jail. They also have to now repeal both of those dumb ordinances that a parade is one person and that a group is one person. And I mean, he was not content with just getting himself off the hook. He got rid of the bad policies by the city and he made them pay his expenses rather than saying, well, you know, City Hall's got deep pockets, nothing I can do. No, he went after City Hall, and that's great news that the city now has to pay a penalty. It'll think twice before it does something stupid like that again.
No doubt, and those penalties help. It makes sure another city doesn't do the same kind of, you know, free, what do we call that, where we chill free speech. You know, one city does it, and you hear about it, and then pastors are afraid to be able to speak out because they don't have a parade permit for their one person with a sign.
Yeah, they're groups of one person with a parade on the sidewalk by holding a sign.
Man, talk about an obvious bias. But the good news is victory in the end. Got to take a quick break. We'll come back and get some more good news. Stay with us here on Wild Boulders Live.
K
The American story is filled with legends, myths, and heroes that are larger than life, including true stories that are simply unbelievable. We're the Green Family, and for years we've been traveling the country sharing the stories that shaped America.
You don't have to look far when it comes to a hero. All you have to do is look in history.
We're chasing the truth about the heroes of our past and finding answers for the future. It's called Chasing American Legends, and you can watch it on hundreds of stations across the nation. For showtimes and listings, visit rickgreen.com. And if you prefer, you can stream it directly from our website. Join us as we investigate America's heroes, legends, and legacies. With passion for America, balanced by humor and curiosity, Chasing American Legends brings a fresh approach to storytelling through access to authentic worlds of timeless national treasures. Each episode's a fun journey through America's most amazing moments, and we want you along for the ride. For more information on where you can watch Chasing American Legends, visit rickgreen.com.
Let the torch of freedom burn.
We're back on Wobblers Live. It's Friday, so we're getting you some good news. We've got time for, we've got a full segment left here. Let's see how much more good news we can squeeze in, guys.
Well, all right, Rick, this one's coming from Minnesota, and Minnesota, several years ago, back in 1981, they passed a piece of legislation that was really designed to limit minor abortions. It was a parental notification law, essentially is what it was, that the parents had to be notified at least 48 hours before an abortion could be performed. Well, that law was then struck down federal district court in 1986. It was taken back up again in 1990. Well, 1990, we're now 25 years later, and what they found in Minnesota is that teen abortions have dropped 87% with this parental notification. From what abortions were 25 years ago, it's 87% down in Minnesota with parental notification. So that's really encouraging news as you know, just you think back 30, 40 years ago when Roe v. Wade happens. And this is such a big deal, and people are going, Christians are going, oh my goodness, what are we ever going to do? How can we do this? And now we found ways to enact legislation in various states that has really minimized so much of the effectiveness of abortion. So Minnesota, 87% decline in minors that are having abortions because of this parental notification law 25 years ago.
You know, normally when we talk about a decline, it's, you know, 5%, 10, 12, 87, I mean, that's coming pretty close to wiping it out. That's not, I mean, that's huge.
That is massive. And I was just thinking as Tim was going through the article, you know, the it's amazing that they fought parents being involved. Because if you will ask virtually any public school teacher out there, what does it take to help kids become successful? They will always tell you parental involvement. If we don't get the involvement of parents in education, we cannot, as
Absolutely.
Teachers, do it. We have to have parental. So we're out screaming for more parental involvement in everything we got going, except these same guys, because so many school teachers on the union side tend to be liberal, but they want parental involvement. And now they're saying, but we don't want parents involved with kids on making life decisions. What? I mean, that's oxymoronic. That's schizophrenic. But we know that it works in education. Are we surprised that it also works when it comes to issues like abortion? No. If you can keep parents involved with their kids, it will be healthier all the way around, whether it's education or abortion, either one.
Which, by the way, let me throw on one. I've got one more article real quick I want to cover. Speaking of this notion of abortion, we don't want parents involved. One of the things that we've seen so often, these undercover videos from Planned Parenthood, where you see Planned Parenthood are encouraging these teenage girls of how they can be sexually active and how they can protect themselves, quote unquote, by, you know, abortions or whether what kind of pills you can take. And
all
things
are encouraging outside of parents. Don't let your parents know.
That's
we
right.
Can show
well,
you how to...
And in so many of these undercover videos, they're saying, okay, now do my parents have to know? Oh, no, we don't have to tell your parents. You can do this. And if you come in, we don't have. So this notion from Planned Parenthood, we see over and over and over. And by the way, so many levels of negative things coming from Planned Parenthood. Well, one of the great things that we have seen just recently in the state of Texas is Governor Greg Abbott cut $1.2 million. Now, and I say he cut, it really was the legislature that did this, but he signed into law $1.2 million in tax funding for Planned Parenthood over the next couple of years. And one of the reasons that they recognized and did this is because the funding specifically that was cut, it was supposed to be for breast and cervical cancer services programming. And so we're funding in Texas what we can do to help with breast and cervical cancer. And what was identified, which is true, we've talked about it so many times in this program, is that abortion drastically increases the chance that you are going to have breast cancer. And doctors are giving so many reasons why it's not good for the body and why the body sometimes reacts and actually ends up getting breast cancer. And so they said, wait a second, we are trying to fund ways to cure breast cancer and cervical cancer. So it doesn't make sense that we are funding abortions which produce breast cancer. So Governor Greg Abbott cuts $1.2 million from Planned Parenthood funding, which is so encouraging on so many levels.
And this is another way of Texas really trying to squeeze more water out of the rock, because we had already cut Planned Parenthood funding and so many other areas in the state. Every time we could find Planned Parenthood funding, we cut it out of the state. And roughly the Planned Parenthood budget, $2 out of every $3 comes from government funding in some way. If it was up to the private business, private enterprise, those guys wouldn't be in business. They claim to be not making money and losing money, and yet $2 out of every $3 comes from state or government. So this is another way where the Texas said, oh, here's another way we're funding Planned Parenthood. Let's get rid of it too. I mean, they're really working hard to get Planned Parenthood defunded in every single program where Planned Parenthood gets a cent from the state of Texas.
That's not just good news. That's great news. We got a lot of good news today, folks. If you would like some more, you can find it at our website at wallbuilderslive.com. Click on that archive section and go back and pick up some of those Friday programs. Thanks so much for listening today. You've been listening to Wall Builders Live.
We stand undivided forever.